tell me that you went home and swiped a ball that was signed by Babe Ruth, and you brought it out here and actually played with it?
Yeah!
Are you one of those people that has to know how much the Babe Ruth ball is actually worth?
I was gonna bring it back, but it was signed by Babe Ruth! You keep telling me that. Who is she?
Well, don't touch that dial, because today is your lucky day.
The Sultan of SWAT!
The King of Crack!
The Colossus of Clout!
The Colossus of Clout!
Babe Ruth!
It's time for Sports Collecting with Tom Morgan. Sponsored by ERCDelivery.com and Huggins and Scott Auctions.
The Great Bambino!
Here's Tom Morgan.
Good morning, everybody. I'm Tom Morgan with Vince Clementi of ERC Delivery, Bill Huggins of Huggins and Scott Auctions, Poor George, our producer, and we have a guest this week, Mr. Marty Appel, former Yankee PR director, originally hired in 1968 by the New York Yankees to handle Mickey Mantle's fan mail, and author of the book Pinstripe Empire. So we can have questions today called in. The number here is 312-332-3776. You can call in like a regular week and tell us about your collectible or ask questions about the value of your sports or pop culture political item. Or if you have a history of the New York Yankees question, a question of virtually anyone in Yankee history, you can ask Marty Appel. Marty, welcome to the show. Thanks for joining us.
Hey, Tom, great to be with you, and thanks for having me.
I'll tell you, it's a great book. I didn't get through the whole thing. I didn't have time for all of it, but I've gotten through a lot of it, and it's one that I think it's good for collectors, actually, to own, because Yankee memorabilia is so valuable over the years. You got all the big names, Babe Ruth, Mickey Mantle, Joe DiMaggio, Lou Gehrig, they're all there. Whitey Ford, Yogi Berra. Lots of money in the collectibles business for Yankee items, correct, Bill Huggins?
Oh, yeah. There is no team better than the New York Yankees with star power up and down the board.
Which, before we get to some questions for Marty, speaking of Yankee items, in the Huggins and Scott June auction, I just noticed this one, Bill. There's a 2005... Mariano Rivera edition Ford Mustang convertible. You got to tell us about that one.
Well, from what I can gather, they made, I want to say, 50 of these in 2005 to honor Mariano Rivera for some feat that he did, and amongst them was billion that he did. But and I guess they were giving out one to each dealership of the 50 that they chose, and this is actually number 42 of 50.
Oh, wow, his jersey number.
And yeah, and it's signed about five different times on the dashboard and here and there, and you know.
That's
and,
cool. It even has the pinstripes. That's amazing looking.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. No, it's quite a unique item. The gentleman who consigned it to us bought it and has literally had it in his garage ever since. He lives in Maryland, which I don't know that he would really want to leave that thing out on the street.
No, no, that's probably
it wouldn't be on the street
idea.
Very long if he did that.
That was one of the stories in Marty Appel's book, Pinstripe Empire. One of the Yankees one time showed up, just got picked up by the Yankees, had all his stuff in his car, and went back out to the car and was gone. Who was? Do you remember that? Who was that, Marty?
Yeah, it was Jim Harden, who you know fans may remember from pitching for the Orioles. And he had been sold to the Yankees, so he drove from Baltimore up to the old Yankee Stadium. He parked his car by the player entrance, ran downstairs to check in with Pete Sheehy, the clubhouse man. So I guess he was downstairs like 15 minutes, and he had all his possessions in the car because he had moved from, you know, Baltimore to New York. And he came back upstairs, and everything was gone.
Yeah, sure
welcome to the Bronx.
Yeah, I hope he had a good contract, had a good insurance policy on that stuff. Now, I had forgotten, but George Halas actually played a few games for the 1919 Yankees. Can you imagine what? I think at one time, one of the McCaskies was looking for a game-used equipment, like a game-used bat or a game-used jersey. First off, he couldn't have used that many of them, but can you imagine what the value of that would be? Oh, my gosh.
Well, of course, we only have one image in our mind of George Halas, and it's a pretty old man.
Yeah, on the sidelines of the Bears, that's right.
Yeah, so to picture him out in the outfield. But it's actually made him part of a trivia question because people say, who did Babe Ruth succeed in the Yankee outfield? And you know, the trick answer is George Halas.
George Halas, yeah.
Although he only played a handful of games.
Right. Now, Marty, have you had a chance? It sounds like there was one story where Ron Blomberg was the Major League's first DH ever.
Yes.
And after his first at-bat, you actually retrieved the bat and sent it to the Hall of Fame. Is that correct?
It is, and this was 1973, so people weren't always thinking history and,
right.
You know, souvenirs and whatever. But the funny thing about the bat is he walked. So the bat went to Cooperstown, and it's the only bat in Cooperstown that commemorates a walk.
Yeah, that's right. Now, did you handle much memorabilia when you were, you were PR director in the 70s for the Yankees after...
Right.
First, you started with handling the fan mail. Why don't you give a little background? What some of the jobs you did or some of the duties you had with the Yankees?
Well, I wrote a letter to the Yankees in the summer of 1967 when I was in college, just looking for a summer job. I didn't even define it. I was just crossed my fingers and sent the letter. And the letter arrived when Bob Fischel, the team's legendary PR director, was just overwhelmed by unanswered Mickey Mantle fan mail. So he was like, if I could only get somebody in here to answer these. And then my letter arrives looking for a job. So this was the late 60s. Baseball was not that fashionable with the college crowd. It was really out of favor. So it wasn't like he'd gotten 300 letters just like mine. He got mine and nobody else.
Wow, what timing, huh?
Yeah, so... I got hired, I got to work with Mantle, and I'm really kind of the last guy standing who worked in the original stadium, who worked when CBS owned the club, who worked when Mickey was still playing. And, of course, I'd always managed to save up a few letters to go over with Mickey in person, so I'd get some good FaceTime with him.
Yeah, right. Wow. I imagine he got some interesting proposals.
No, it wasn't as interesting as you think. Almost every letter said, "Dear Mickey, you're my favorite player. Please send me an autographed baseball."
I think that's what he said at one time where when he went to heaven, or in order to get into heaven or something like that, he had to sign a dozen baseballs first.
No, he was rejected in this story.
Oh, okay.
But it was, hey, but Mick, before you go.
Yeah, can you sign? Okay, that's how it went. I knew there was something with that.
I don't know
well,
if
anyway,
could be another...
I did fan mail for a couple of summers, and then I got hired to be Bob Fischel's assistant. And that's where I was when George Steinbrenner bought the team in 73. Fischel left at the end of 73, and I became the PR director. And later on, I went on to become the TV, the producer of their telecasts on WPIX in New York. So it was a long run with the Yankees. And then I've always stayed in and around baseball. I have my own PR agency now, and I've done PR for Tops and the National Sports Collectors Convention. So I've had my hand in the hobby world as well.
And writing quite a few books. I'll tell you, Pinstripe Empire is the book that we're talking about today. And for anybody who enjoys the history of baseball, and particularly the New York Yankees, whether you like the Yankees or hate them, it's interesting, their history. I mean, they've dominated things so long in baseball. Some really great stories, even going back to guys like... Wee Willie Keeler, who was, I guess, kind of the Ichiro of his time.
Very much so.
Yeah.
It's very smart that you point that out, because when I watch Ichiro now, I have a sense of what it was like to watch Wee Willie Keeler.
Correct. Ichiro may have broken his record. Was it for 200 hit seasons or something like that?
He broke George Sisler's record for most hits in a season.
Most hits in a season, and it might have been total seasons with 200 hits.
Yeah.
That I think Wee Willie Keeler might have had that. I don't know about that one. I'm bringing that off the top of my head, but I think he possibly did do that.
Well, and my favorite Willie Keeler story, actually, is when the Yankees played their very first home game at Old Hilltop Park in northern Manhattan, and the field really wasn't ready. They they did the best they could. But right field, where Keeler played, had been a swamp that they filled in.
No.
And it wasn't quite ready for action, so he had to stand on planks of wood.
Oh, man.
In that game.
You had said, actually, you were walking in the outfield of the old Yankee Stadium, and you were surprised how it wasn't really level.
Yeah, when you're a fan and then you get the blessing that I had to just go work there, you know, one of the things you do is you walk on the field someday when there's nobody there. And I went out to the outfield in search of the drain that Mickey Mantle had hit in the 51 World Series where he wrecked his knee. I was just curious as to whether that was still out there. I never did find it. But I was just amazed that, well, it's kind of like a golf course. You know, it wasn't smooth like you would expect from an AstroTurf field or something. It had a lot of hills and gullies, and it was not at all level. So I was kind of amazed by that.
That is surprising. I remember hearing stories that Crosley Field had a slope going towards the fence in Cincinnati, but I had never heard that about Yankee Stadium.
It was more like the fairway of a golf course, just, you know, little ridges and bumps, and I guess made it even more interesting to play out there.
So was Thurman Munson one of the players you got to know the best?
Well, he was a close friend, and I wound up writing his autobiography with him in the 70s. And then in 2009, I did a full-blown biography of him, which obviously the first book didn't include the death and the aftermath. And he played his last game at Comiskey Park. Somebody was nice enough to send me a photograph of him scoring his final run and turning at home plate to shake hands with Reggie Jackson, who had driven him in with a home run.
Oh, that's a great photo.
Really an amazing photo.
Now, that one thing you had said, you thought maybe that the hatred between Fisk and Munson may have been what really got the Red Sox-Yankees rivalry heated up, huh? That their dislike in the 70s, they had a fight or two, didn't they?
Well, they did, and people think the Yankee-Red Sox rivalry goes back forever since they're almost two charter teams. The Yankees actually started in 03. But the rivalry as we know it today really goes back to when Fisk and Munson started going at each other in the 70s. And prior to that, even with DiMaggio and Williams on the scene, you could just walk up the day of the game and buy pretty much any ticket you want, and there'd be like, you know, 18 or 20,000 people in the ballpark, either one. So the rivalry as we know it today really started, Munson was the rookie of the year in 70, Fisk was the rookie of the year in 72, and you could take it from there.
Yeah, they really battled it out. And speaking of DiMaggio, you had so much about him, the mystique of DiMaggio and everything. And one of the lines that I thought was really great that Phil Rizzuto was quoted as saying, I used to like to just watch him shave, you know, that he was, everything
right.
He did, they were in awe of, it seemed like.
Absolutely right. And DiMaggio matured very quickly. He was not a refined guy when he came up in 36, and he was Joe DiMaggio. But by 37, he was Joe DiMaggio.
So did you know him pretty well?
I did, because he was a regular at our old-timers games. And when he needed something, I would be the guy he would call. And, you know, there are a lot of stories, especially in the hobby, about how he could be difficult or this or that. I never had a bad moment with him. He was always great to me. And I never, you know, lost track of the fact that I'm with Joe DiMaggio.
Yeah, you know, right.
There's only one guy like this.
Speaking of old-timers days at Yankee Stadium, I bet you can tell me if you've heard this story or think this is correct. I think Whitey Ford told us this story one time when he was on the show as a guest, that they used to list the players, the former Yankees who had passed away the previous year on the scoreboard or whatever during on Old Timers Day, and that one time Yogi Berra was walking off with I forget who, like Mattingly and somebody else, maybe with Whitey Ford, and he said, I hope I don't see my name up there next year. Have you heard that one?
Yes, but like most Yogi stories, they're not always completely accurate.
Right. Well, we'll get to him. It's time for a short break here. The number is 312-332-3776. I'm Tom Morgan with Vince Clemente of ERC Delivery, Bill Huggins of Huggins and Scott Auctions. And this week, our guest is Marty Appel, Yankee employee from the 1970s who wrote the book Pinstripe Empire, A History of the New York Yankees. So if you have questions like you do any week about the value of an item, or if you have a question for Marty about the Yankees, give us a call, 312-332-3776, and you'll get in a drawing. We're giving away actually two prizes this week, a box of 2013 Bowman Chrome Baseball and a 2013-14 Retro Basketball Box. So get your calls in, or if you tweet a question, T Crown Tom's my Twitter ID, and we use it on the show, you'll get in the drawing also. And ERC Delivery will deliver it at no charge right to your door. So hang in there, we'll be right back.
Attention sports collectors. Are you looking to expand your collection? Then mark your calendars now. Bidding in Huggins & Scott's next auction begins June 2nd. Huggins & Scott Auctions is a sports memorabilia auction company that specializes in selling vintage baseball, football, and graded cards, signed autographed vintage sports memorabilia, and Americana collectibles. Visit them online at HugginsAndScott.com to register for their event, or call them toll-free at 866-462-2273. That's 866-462-2273. Got a shipment that needs to get out the door today and overnight delivery is just too slow? Then call ERC Delivery Service. 24/7, 365 days a year, ERC will get your document, package, or truckload of merchandise where you need it, when you need it delivered, guaranteed. And it's not just Chicagoland. ERC has dedicated daily routes that include Milwaukee, Rockford, and Indiana. Call ERC Delivery Service. 630-516-1199. That's 630-516-1199.
From polar vortexes to raging thunderstorms and searing heat, your home protects you from whatever Chicago weather throws at you. So protect it back with Allstate House and Home Insurance. Get great protection, plus help from a local Allstate agent who lives and works right in your neighborhood. They'll get to know you. Plus, they can help you find lots of ways to save, like claim-free rewards, money back for every year you don't file a claim, and Claim Rate Guard. It helps keep your rate from going up in case you do make a claim. So don't wait for the storm front to swing through. Get the protection you and your home need today.
Call a Chicagoland Allstate agent today and save an extra 10% just for signing up now. Features are optional, subject to terms, conditions, and availability. Savings vary.
Put your home in good hands with Allstate House and Home Insurance.
Honey,
yeah.
I need to know where you rate your snapper mower on your list of priorities.
On a Saturday, absolutely number one. A new day with a great snapper mower and a perfect day to visit my snapper dealer for the expertise only a snapper dealer can offer.
Okay, well, that's Saturday. What about Saturday night?
Well, you.
Oh?
Yeah, I was thinking we could take a nice romantic test drive.
Aww.
At the snapper dealer.
My mother warned me.
Your Snapper dealer has great promotions going on now. Visit snapper.com for the dealer in your area.
Hey, you, in the DXL dressing room, you're more than just an average Joe in a new outfit. You are a magnificent man about town. Before you unleash fashions like Lucky, Lacoste, and Nautica, ask yourself, are you ready to look this good? Is the world ready? All the best men's brands, waist size 38 and up. DXL, you're looking good. Right now, Harbor Bay polos are only $24.99 each when you buy two or more.
Now back to Sports Collecting with Tom Morgan. Sponsored by ERCDelivery.com and Huggins and Scott Auctions on ESPN 1000 and ESPNChicago.com.
They're sticking with us. We've got them from the babies up. As soon as the kid can talk, he starts to say, Messi, Messi, not Papa, not Mama, Messi, Messi, Messi. So that's what they are. They're now singing the kids, Messi, Messi, Messi. See, where they want food and everything. So the babies are even started. We got them from 4 years on. We got them from 10 years on, 15 years on, 18 years old. And we got him in a group.
That's a little bit of Stang-a-lees. Our guest this week is Marty Appel, who wrote the history of the New York Yankees pinstripe empire. And one of, there's some funny excerpts in the book in addition to just the history, but there's a Sting Elise. I love this one where I guess I think it was in around 1958, a bunch of baseball players were brought before a Senate subcommittee on antitrust and monopoly and asked to testify. And Casey was brought up there, and they said, Mr. Stengel, you're the manager of the Yankees. Will you very briefly give us your background and views on the legislation? And I guess he cracked everybody up. He spoke for like 45 minutes and just that kind of gibberish Stengelese that you heard there, 7,000 words, many of them drowned out in laughter. And then following Casey Stengel, Mickey Mantle came up, and his response was, well, my views are just about the same as Casey's. That's a great, great story there.
Well, that's
Marty.
True, because you can find that in the congressional record.
Oh, really? Okay, well, the number here is 312-332-3776. You can call with a question on the Yankees for Marty Appel or collectibles questions for me, Bill Huggins, and Vince Clemente of ERC Delivery, Bill Huggins of Huggins and Scott Auctions. And I'm Tom Morgan. We're on every Sunday from 7 to 8 a.m. I got a couple of neat items tweeted to me. Here's something interesting, Bill Huggins. A game-issued bat signed by Jose Abreu, the hot young slugger for the White Sox. Now, how would that value of a new player like that, Bill, affect if it's game issued, not necessarily game used?
So, I mean, game issued, when they order the bats, a lot of times I think they order them in dozens. So,
okay.
It's probably just one that hasn't been used yet or rubbed up or whatever to his, the way he uses them at the plate. So, I mean, as long as it's his specs and everything, it takes it down a little bit in value that it wasn't actually used in the game. But if it's to his specs and everything, that's still as almost as much as the game used that.
Which would probably be hundreds right now, wouldn't you think?
Oh, I would think it'd be a couple thousand.
Really? You think that much for a game used?
Yeah, these new guys, when Trout came up and Harper,
yeah.
And they used to be a couple hundred for the rookies. Now they're a couple thousand because the teams hold on to them now. Every team in Major League Baseball sells their game used stuff in there at the stadium. Whereas before they didn't. I don't know why they didn't. They were just letting hundreds of thousands of dollars walk out the building, but now they sell it.
Yeah, Marty might have an answer to that. I think, Marty, you seem to be ahead of your time in a way in the 70s with the memorabilia.
Well, I'll tell you something I got in 68, which did well for me. But the Yankee bat boy in 68 had all season promised me a crack bat, and it never happened. It's just one of those things. I didn't want one that broke in two. I wanted one that just cracked and couldn't be used anymore, but it was still intact. So after the last road trip of the season, which the bat boy was allowed to go on, he brought me back Mickey Mantle's bat from Saturday, September 28th, 1968, which had cracked. And he kind of laughed. He said, well, you got lucky. You got a Mantle bat. So, I mean, I loved having it. But the following spring, Mick announced his retirement.
Yeah.
I had the bat from his last time up. It was a pop-up to short left field that Rico Petrocelli caught. And it was in the first inning. And he took himself out of the game and flew back to New York and didn't play Sunday, and that was it. That was the end of his career.
Do you still have it?
No, I had it for over 25 years, and then I put it up at auction and helped put my son through his first year in college.
Oh, I imagine. What did it? Do you remember what it actually went for?
I think I got about $26,000 for it, and it sold again like a year or two ago. And I, you know, sort of wanted to close my eyes because I didn't want to see what it went for. But it went for something like $60,000, so I didn't feel so terrible.
That's a great bat.
Interestingly, if you really like these sort of things that connect, so that date for Mantle for his last time up was September 28th, 1968. Derek Jeter's last game this year will be in Fenway, September 28th. So if he plays in that game, me and your listeners will be the first ones to know that that's the exact anniversary of Mantle's last at bat.
Yeah, that's cool. Do you stay connected with the current Yankees at all?
I do. I do work for their website, their biographies on their network. I write for their publications. And let's face it, I'm the guy that they call when there's nobody there who knows the answer.
Yeah, right. I've seen you quite often on, like, if an ESPN Classic and they're doing anything about any of the old Yankees, you get interviewed on those quite often.
Well, it's nice that I was smart enough as at a young age to know that this was history going on all around me and to sort of bask in everything and kind of try and remember it all. So I actually... Not that long ago, you guys know who Roger Peckinpah was? Roger Peckinpah was kind of a longtime manager for Washington and Cleveland, but he's the youngest manager in baseball history. It's actually 100 years ago this year, in 1914, that he managed the Yankees. I think he was only 24 years old then, and he just finished out the season at the end of the year. I knew Roger Peckinpah. And in 1972, when he was quite elderly, I sat down with a tape recorder and did a long interview with him. So you're talking to a guy who knew Roger Peckinpah, who managed the Yankees 100 years ago.
Oh, that really is something when you think about it. Here's Don from St. Charles has a question for Marty Appel, who wrote the book Pinstripe Empire, History of the Yankees. Don, thanks for the call. What's up?
Hey, good morning, guys. Marty, I grew up with a kid named Dave Boyer. He was the son of Kenny Boyer.
Oh.
And I was wondering if you had any interesting stories about Dave Boyer's uncle, Cleet, who held down the third base position for the Yankees.
Well, he did more than hold it down. He was a fabulous fielding third baseman, and he came along at the time where he was the third baseman on the fabled 1961 Yankees. He was probably the weakest hitter in the Yankee lineup then, but near the end of his career, he was traded to the Atlanta Braves, and all of a sudden he came to life as a hitter and showed that he really had some great ability. In the 64 World Series, Ken Boyer played against Cleet Boyer, and they were both third basemen for their teams. So that was a real rarity in baseball. And Cleet was a great guy. He's no longer with us. It puts him in the question of who's the best third baseman in Yankee history, because statistically the answer is probably A-Rod, who won two MVP awards. But is anybody prepared to say A-Rod was the best?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, that was an interesting story from your book where when they picked up Greg Nettles, you actually were the one who suggested he use Roger Maris's old number 9 because he reminded you so much of him.
Yeah, he had the same kind of personality. And as it happened, he winds up being the first Yankee since Maris to lead the league in home runs. So I felt pretty good about that
call. Boy, now talk about a good fielder. He was a clutch player.
Yeah.
He had that one playoffs where he reminded me of Brooks Robinson in the early 70s in the World Series where he was diving all over, making all the plays.
There's a great little moment on the World Series film from that where he just makes his, like, 11th amazing play, and he just walks over and flips the ball to Ron Guidry on the mound, and the two of them are just laughing at this. How could this be?
So that would have been a guy you would have known from the 70s, right, then? You knew
him? Absolutely, yeah. Guys from the 70s, which included Mercer and Munson and Willie Randolph and Chris Chambliss and Mickey Rivers and Oscar Gamble, they were all personal friends because I was their age, too. And before players were millionaires, you could actually hang out with them.
Yeah, right.
So, good friendships from those teams, for sure.
Sound like you were in contact with Yogi Berra quite a bit also.
Yeah, Yogi remains a dear friend and a national treasure, and he kind of is the greatest generation all in one. I mean, this was the only major league ball player to be at Normandy for D-Day. This was a guy who always exceeded expectations. Nobody thought he looked like a ball player. Nobody even thought he looked like a sailor when he was in the Navy. And, you know, who would think that this guy would become one of the great catchers in baseball history and even today have a museum for him in New Jersey which is an educational center where people learn about the high characteristics that have made Yogi's life, the honor and the decency of the man. He's just a joy to be around anytime you're with him.
We had somebody tweeted me a picture of a Yogi Berra signed baseball where he put his MVP years on there. He was three-time MVP, correct?
That's right, three times.
And his Hall of Fame 72-year and 358 homers. With all those items added on there, Bill, does that add much to the value?
Oh, yeah, that adds a lot to it. Yeah. Anytime you get inscriptions like that.
Have you ever... So that... Maybe double or triple it, I suppose, when you have that many inscriptions.
At least.
Yeah. Well, the Huggins and Scott auction, the June auction, will be June 2nd through June 12th. There's lots of good items up there already. You can go look through and decide what you're going to bid on. In addition to the Mariano Rivera 2005 Ford Mustang that I think Vince has his eye on, there's a Ty Cobb Stan Musial dual sign baseball. Now, that's a cool item. So at one point, they must have had the most hits in the American League and the most hits in the National League. That sounds right, doesn't it?
I think both of them did, right?
Yeah, at one point. So that's a neat ball. I like that ball. Okay, we have another caller here. We have Tom from LaGrange on the line. What do you have there, Tom?
Well, good morning, gentlemen. You know, interesting conversation about the Yankees. I have a question for you. In the early 50s, Mickey Mantle was playing minor league ball, and he came through Charleston, West Virginia, and my father-in-law went to the game and thought, boy, this guy is just a phenomenal player. He ended up, after the game, getting him to sign the minor league program that he had purchased for the day. And I'm just kind of wondering, what kind of value would you think there would be in something like that?
Whoa, Bill, what do you think of minor league program?
What year was this that he signed it?
I want to say it was early to mid-50s, somewhere around there.
Well, Marty, when was Mantle at, wasn't he with Joplin?
He played at Joplin, and he played at Independence. And his rookie year of 51, they sent him back to the minor leagues where he played for the Kansas City Blues. And I'm thinking that might have been when he went through West Virginia. I'm not sure.
I mean, a Mantle sign from back then, his signature is totally different than what it was when he was sort of doing the card shows at the end of his life and everything. And
yes,
those early Mantle signatures are $1,000 to $3,000 or more.
In the minor leagues, okay.
Yeah, that's a great
item.
Yeah, it's not something we ever want to sell, but it's kind of, you know, it's an interesting thing.
Make sure you keep it out of, like, real bright light or direct sunlight, because that can really make the item fade.
Yeah, you know what? He's got it between books sitting on his desk, and it's just, you know, so there's no light on it. So, it's kind of neat to see. So,
Very cool. All
right. Appreciate it.
Thanks for the call.
Thank you.
Okay, it's time for another short break here. Marty, can you stay on with us till 8?
Oh, sure.
All right, great. Well, I'm Tom Morgan with Bill Huggins of Huggins and Scott Auctions, Vince Clementi of ERC Delivery, and our guest this week is Marty Appel, who in the 1970s was a PR director for the Yankees, and he has written a book called Pinstripe Empire, which is basically a history of the New York Yankees. So if you want to give us a call at 312-332-3776, you can have a question about the value of a collectible, or you can have a question about the Yankees for Marty Appel. And if you'll get in the drawing, we're giving away a box of 2013 Bowman Chrome Baseball, along with a box of 2013-14 Upper Deck Fleer Retro Basketball. So give us a call. We'll be right back. Hang in there.
Want to know if your autograph collectibles are authentic and ready to sell? Then look no further than James Spence Authentications, the most trusted name in autograph authentication. JSA has many different authentication services, including online certification verification to fit your needs. They are the leaders of the autograph authentication industry. For details, visit them at spencelo.com or by phone at 973-898-1300.
Hi, this is Mike Muller of Muller Nissan in Highland Park. I've got a bit of news that may not be very important to you, but it sure is important to me. Nissan has informed us that Muller Nissan is the fastest growing Nissan dealership in Chicagoland. Now, what does that mean to you? That accomplishment did not come from making empty promises. It came from aggressive pricing, gaining a reputation for exceptional service, and most of all, treating our customers with the utmost respect. And don't forget, there's always a Mueller in the house. At Mueller Nissan, we're proud to be the fastest growing Nissan dealer in Chicagoland, but that's the beginning. And the only way we can continue our growth is for our customers to tell their friends how terrific their experience at Mueller Nissan was.
Mueller Nissan in Highland Park at Route 41 and Park Avenue West, just 2 miles north of Lake Hook Road.
Come visit us at Mueller Nissan. You will not be disappointed.
I'm Lex Friedman. I run my own business, so I know from experience hiring new employees can be tough. With so many job boards out there, you need to advertise on all the top sites to find the perfect candidate quickly. But how can you do that without wasting a ton of time? The answer is ZipRecruiter.com. With ZipRecruiter.com, you post to 40 job sites at once with a single click. They even highlight the best candidates, making it easy for you to hire the right person fast. Try ZipRecruiter for free by going to ZipRecruiter.com/ESPN. That's ZipRecruiter.com/ESPN.
Purolator oil filters were invented in the USA. So when you change your oil with Purolator, it's as American as baseball. Actually, it's more American than baseball.
Yeah!
Baseball was developed from early English folk games. But how can you yell at the ump with phrases like pish-posh, poppycock, and fiddlesticks? Purolator oil filters were invented in America 90 years ago, and we've been trusted by professionals and do-it-yourselfers ever since. Purolator. Keep it pure. Available at Advance Auto Parts, Pep Boys, Meijer, Kmart, and other retailers.
Now back to Sports Collecting with Tom Morgan.
We're back. I'm Tom Morgan with Vince Clementi of ERC Delivery, Bill Huggins of Huggins and Scott Auctions, and this week our guest is Marty Appel from the New York Yankees. In 1968, he was hired to answer Mickey Mantle's fan mail and has written a book about the history of the New York Yankees pinstripe empire. Marty, I've got an interesting item I tweeted at T Crown Tom, a customer brought in yesterday. I don't think this is that valuable, Bill, but it kind of ties in with some of the things we're talking about today. It's a mini bat by a Louisville Slugger mini bat with George Babe Ruth stamped on the end. Bill Huggins, any value to that at all?
Well, as a matter of fact, believe it or not, I'm in Pittsburgh right now doing a show, and a guy consigned me 3 mini bats to our next auction. One is Babe Ruth, one is Lou Gehrig, and the other...
Really?
Oh. Yeah, I'm trying to remember who it is. The Babe Ruth, that's probably, $100, $150.
Oh, very nice. He'll be happy to hear that. Marty, yeah. did you ever actually handle a... Supposedly Babe Ruth used a 42-ounce bat. Have you ever held one of those bats?
I have. The new Yankee Stadium has a Yankees museum, and they have one of those in there. So the curator let me hold one very recently, in fact. I think it's lost some weight, some mass over the course of time because it didn't feel 42 ounces. Today's players, for listeners to make a comparison, is like 10 ounces less.
Yeah, right.
But it was a joy to hold it, the whole white gloves thing and everything. It was an amazing piece.
Yeah, that must have been cool. I had a conversation with Bob Feller on the phone a few years ago that turned into about a half an hour conversation where he was basically telling me about his life. He was going to be a guest on the show. It was around the time that Steven Strasburg was first coming out, and the theme of the show was going to be that Bob Feller was Steven Strasburg before Steven Strasburg. When Feller came up, he was the hotshot fastballer. And was it the last time Babe Ruth appeared at Yankee Stadium where he was leaning on a bat?
Yes.
And it was actually Bob Feller's bat that he used. And I think at the time, Bob Feller had that bat in his museum in Iowa, where I don't know if that museum's even still around or what happened to that memorabilia, if they decided to sell it off or whatever. But that was an interesting story. He used it almost as a cane because he was in pretty poor physical health.
Yeah, it was the day they took that famous Pulitzer Prize-winning photo from the rear where you see the number 3. I'll tell you an interesting story about that uniform, the number 3. And, Babe never had the NY on the front of his jersey when he was a Yankee player. That wasn't put there until 1936 after he had departed. So his game-used jerseys never had an NY.
Yeah.
in ceremonial appearances around the country in retirement, he would always be there with the NY. And that uniform was made by the costume department of the movie company that did Pride of the Yankees, which Dave appeared himself.
Really, yeah.
So they made that uniform, and that's what he carried around the country when he did appearances.
A couple other Yankees were in that movie, too. Was it maybe Bill Dickey?
Yeah, Dickey was, and I think maybe Bob Musil.
Yeah, cool. Well, we're going to have to be pretty quick with the callers. Thanks for waiting so long, everybody. Here we got Rob from Downers Grove on the line. What do you have there, Rob?
Hi, good morning, guys. How are you?
Good. Thanks for the call.
Good. Marty, I have a quick share for you. If a name, Father Joe Dispenza, rings a bell to you.
Yeah, absolutely. He was a wonderful man of the cloth, was always around the team in the 70s and 80s, especially good friend of Bucky Dent's, and we all loved Father Joe a lot.
Yes, he's actually first cousin of my grandmother's, and I happen to be the first baby he ever baptized.
No, wow. Really?
Oh, cool.
So funny story is he brought Thurman Munson over to my grandmother's house one night back in the 70s. I was about 4 or 5 years old at the time, and my parents were like, come on, we're going to grandma's. And I'm like, no, I'm too tired. I don't want to go. And, of course, my brother went, and sure enough, Thurman Munson was over at the house. And to this day, I'll never forgive him.
Yeah, all right.
So that was just a great chair. And I just had one quick question around for a hockey item. Is that possible?
Sure, go ahead.
I had a game-used Mario Lemieux autograph stick from about 1992 get signed at the All-Star game.
Wow.
And I was just checking.
Very nice. Bill Huggins, what do you think of the value of that, a Mario Lemieux 1992 game-used stick sign?
Oh, you're looking at $1,000 to $2,500, depending on what it looks like.
Perfect.
Very nice. Are you thinking of selling that, Rob?
I am thinking about selling it. I'm just trying to find out where I would. What might be the best place to go?
Well, contact Bill Huggins at Huggins and Scott Auctions. Bill,
okay.
And he's there during the week. You can go to HugginsandScott.com and check out their website. They've got a June auction coming up, but you could probably still get something in probably for their next August auction, correct, Bill?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. That'd be a great item. Give me a call during the week at the store. I'd be happy to revisit that with you.
That'd be great. Thank you so much. I appreciate your time, guys.
That'd be neat. Bill Huggins, we had a guy came in towards the end of the day yesterday. I spent a little time with him. His name was Pete. He likes the show. He had some nice 1969 and 1970 Topps cards that I thought would be good for the Huggins auction. But an interesting thing he had, it was from, I think, 1937. I guess his father worked for the New York Giants in the 30s, and he had a group of like photo postcards of each player from the team, and each one was individually signed, which included a nice Mel Ott and a Carl Hubbell and pretty much everybody on the team. Now, they lost to the Yankees in the World Series that year. What do you think of the value of that, Bill Huggins?
Well, how many, like 20, 25 of them?
I think it was over 20. He's going to get back in touch with me again and get some of his stuff sorted out. He has a lot of great stuff.
Well, I mean, I guess you're talking Bill Terry and the rest of the gang on there. Oh, I'm not sure I'm familiar with that, with those postcards. I'd want to see them to kind of give you a better answer as to what their value would be, but it certainly is a fabulous item.
Yeah, I'm sure it would be a great auction item without a doubt. Really cool looking. If he brings them in again, I'll try to get some of the pictures up. You know, put a picture of a group of them with some of the best ones up on Twitter. The Riverview guy is on. What do you have there, Riverview guy?
Hi, guys. The voice is back a little bit.
There you go.
Just one thing. Please, please, no more snow.
No, the snow's done, Riverview guy.
Anyway, I did meet, I did get in 1962 down at Wrigley Field, I did get Yogi Berra's autograph, and I did meet Casey Stengel and got his autograph. The thing about Casey was, it was so funny, I went up to ask for his autograph, and he goes, "You want my autograph?" He was a character, Casey, God bless his soul.
That's awesome.
I've got a ball signed by the new Iron Man, Cal Ripken Jr., it's a major league ball, and I've got a Jimmy Carter autograph, 8x10 color photo.
What's a Jimmy Carter photo, Bill Huggins? You think that's a couple hundred dollars for that?
Yeah, exactly. A couple hundred dollars.
Yeah, that's neat. Yeah, I'll tell you, I'd like to have the Casey Stengel signed program. The Riverview guy, I guess, used to live right near Wrigley, and he's got tons of signed programs from, you know, the old Wrigley Field programs where some pretty neat items on it. Okay, here's Bob from Woodstock with a neat item. Tell us what you have there, Bob. Oh, he's gone. It looked like he had a Mantle signed jersey. I wonder if he really did, or maybe he just panicked when he was coming on the line there. Okay, Steve from Portage, Indiana is next. What do you have there, Steve?
Actually, I've got a bat that from the World Series the White Sox won, signed by Conerico. I got it at a charity auction.
It wasn't a bat he used in the series, was it?
I don't think so. I don't have the bat. I gave it to my son, and he's in South Carolina, so... I think it was, I thought it was like one of 250, so it was probably not used.
Yeah, that wouldn't have been used. What would be the difference in value, Bill Huggins, of a World Series game-used signed Conerico bat compared to another one?
Well, the World Series, if they still do the same thing that they've done in the past, they only get two bats, usually, I believe, a lot of them for the World Series. And... They clearly say World Series on it, you know, and those sell for 5 to 10 times what a regular issue bat would sell for.
Yeah, that would make sense. It's still hard to believe the White Sox actually won a World Series. Right now, in similar to the Spahn and Sane, I think the White Sox rotation is Quintana and Sale and Pray for Hale. they're lacking a little bit in the rotation.
Well, as is my team, the Cubs, so I have nothing really to add here.
Yeah, no, there really isn't any. They're not even trying. It's like, okay, yeah, one of these years we're gonna try.
One of these decades I'm looking for, you know.
Marty Appel, what do you think Yankee fans would have done if they had announced, okay, we're going to take about 5 years here and completely retool and just get all young guys? You think Yankee fans would have stood for that?
Well, you know, there were two long periods in Yankee history where nothing happened. I mean, the Horace Clark years, they're called '65 and '76. They just couldn't make it happen at all. And from '81 to '96 was also a dry spell with no World Series appearances.
Yeah, that's true.
That was really, tested the real Yankee fans, whether they were hanging in there.
Yeah.
I'm actually feeling a little better. Thanks, Marty. I appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Yeah, but then we think, let's see, it was pre-Titanic when the Cubs last won the World Series.
Well, you got me there. You got me there.
Right. Okay, we have John from Oak Lawn's been waiting. Thanks for waiting, John. What do you have?
I have a question. I have a game-used Willie McCovey signed baseball bat.
Game-used went what? Era, what year do you know he used it?
I don't know. My grandpa gave it to me. I really don't know what era it's from.
How much difference does that make, Bill Huggins, in the value of a game-used bat? If it's like a guy who came up in the early 60s, if it's closer to his rookie year, does it go for a lot more?
Oh, yeah. The markings on the bat will determine when it was made, what era it was made, 60 to 62, 62 to 65. Once you could answer that question, then the value could certainly be determined. But either way, an early McCovey bat, anything from the 60s, would be several thousand dollars.
Well, if you get us a picture of it, or if you're thinking of selling it, and you can get in touch with Bill Huggins, John, and put it in his, that'd be a nice.
Yeah, John, that would be a great item for our auction if you're interested in selling it.
Yeah, I gotta talk to my father. I don't know if he'll want to let that go.
Well, if you send me a picture either through Twitter or sometime bring it into Triple Crown in Naperville, I'll take a picture of it, and we can get more details as far as when he used it and what it might be worth.
Okay, I appreciate it.
All right, neat item. Next on the line, we have Larry from Elmhurst. Tell us what you have there, Larry.
Hi, I've got a mini bat. It was a souvenir from the 1932 World Series, Cubs versus Yankees.
And the Cubs were in the World Series. That was the called shot year where...
That's right.
What's your take on that, Marty? What do you think? I think the Bambino might have been gesturing quite a bit with the Cubs dugout and jawing back and forth with them, but as far as pointing to center field,
Isn't this Babe Ruth bobblehead weekend or something with the Cubs at Wrigley Field?
Yeah, actually, I think Babe Ruth's daughter threw out the ball.
Because on my cable system here in New York, we get WGN, and I was watching the Cubs-Brewers the other day, and Julia Ruth Stevens was in the booth talking about Daddy. It was a wonderful little piece of baseball history to watch.
I imagine you've had some conversations with her.
Yeah, so a great lady in her mid-90s now, and sharp as a tack and great recall. And, I mean, like in 1934, there was a tour of Japan by All-American baseball stars, and she went along with her daddy, and she's the only survivor of that tour. So people who like to talk about that tour of Japan go right to her.
That was the tour where the backup catcher, who was actually Mo Berg. So she must have known Mo Berg then, huh?
Yeah.
Boy, what an interesting
teenager.
Story.
She wasn't a little girl, so her recall is great.
Yeah, so was Mo Berg's recall. Sounded like he remembered anything he ever heard his whole life.
Right.
Bill Huggins, what do you think of a 1932 souvenir bat, World Series souvenir bat, mini bat?
That was one of the first ones that they did. They did it in 32. I think they did it in 33. Those things get a couple $100. They're kind of generic looking. They don't really have a whole lot of graphics on it, if I'm not mistaken, other than it says 1932 World Series, and it'll say, I guess, Cubs and...
Cubs-Yankees, yeah.
Cubs-Yankees, yeah.
Is that what yours says, Larry?
Yes, it says Souvenir World Series Cubs versus Yankees 1932.
Yeah, that'd be a neat thing on the wall at T-Crown in Naperville, if nothing else, Larry. Okay, thanks for the call.
Thank you.
All right. The book where Marty Appel is our guest this week, and Marty, you've been great. Thanks a lot for coming on with us. His book is Pinstripe Empire, A History of the Yankees from Before the Babe to After the Boss. And how do people buy this book, Marty?
Wherever fine books are sold.
Okay. Do you know if you're on Kindle or, you know, anything?
Yeah, there's a Kindle edition. There's a paperback edition, the hardcover, which came out a couple of years ago. And the paperback is updated right through the end of last season. And I wrote it. Not like a Yankee yearbook where everything is going to be glowing praise, but really an honest assessment, all the bumps and bruises along the way, too, so that baseball fans, not just Yankee fans, have kind of liked it because it is baseball history as much as it is Yankee history.
It really is. I've gone through about three-quarters of it, and I want to finish it. It's a really interesting book. Now, speaking of the boss, real quick, we're almost at the end, but... Real quick, Marty, what's your take on George Steinbrenner? Good, bad? Were you impressed, not impressed?
Yeah, there was. He was not an easy guy to work for, but in the end, players loved him because he paid them so well. He surrounded them with great teammates. The fans loved him because he always gave them a great product. The media loved him because he was always so quotable and interesting. Other teams loved him because he filled their ballparks when the Yankees came to town. So if he was a little tough to work for those of us in the front office, what did it really matter in the end? You know, he was an impact player, and I think in retrospect, we just look at him with praise.
Yeah, well, Marty Appel, thanks for being a guest with us. It's time to do the drawing right now for the two boxes. Vince Clementi, who's going to be the winner?
It's going to be Todd from Twitter.
Todd from Twitter.
Yes, so Todd, email me, vince@ercdelivery.com. I'll get back to you, set up a delivery at your convenience, free of charge.
Okay, and Vince, didn't your daughter do something recently?
Oh, you know, ERC Delivery sponsoring my daughter's 14U softball team, and she had the game-winning walk-off hit in the bottom of the last inning to win the game. So she was chosen as the MVP, got the game ball. So my daughter, Julie... MVP of the game.
Oh, that's awesome, Vince.
Awesome.
I've met Julie, and I tell you, I think she's got a future in baseball.
She's got
there,
a
Vince.
Strong arm, Tom. Amazing arm. She's very good.
Now, maybe there will be a women's Yankees team, Marty. Has there been any work on that?
There's been no work on that.
Okay. Maybe she could be used for the Cubs, you know.
Yeah.
We'll put her on the Cubs.
That jersey from the League of Their Own, that jersey... Bill Huggins, did you hear from them on that jersey? Are you going to get that?
I have not heard from him yet.
Oh, boy, that was awesome. That was one of the coolest things we've heard about, actually, the MVP of the actual game.
Amazing item.
Yeah, from the 40. So I'm Tom Morgan with Vince Clementi and Bill Huggins, and thank you to Marty Appel for joining us. We're on every Sunday. Have a great week, everybody, and thanks for listening.
The preceding program was a paid advertisement. The views reflected are not necessarily the views of ESPN 1000.
Attention sports collectors. Are you looking to expand your collection? Then mark your calendars now. Bidding in Huggins & Scott's next auction begins June 2nd. Huggins & Scott Auctions is a sports memorabilia auction company that specializes in selling vintage baseball, football, and graded cards, signed autographed vintage sports memorabilia, and Americana collectibles. Visit them online at HugginsAndScott.com to register for their event or call them toll-free at 866-462-2273. That's 866-462-2273. Got a shipment that needs to get out the door today and overnight delivery is just too slow? Then call ERC Delivery Service. 24/7, 365 days a year. ERC will get your document, package, or truckload of merchandise where you need it, when you need it delivered, guaranteed. And it's not just Chicagoland. ERC has dedicated daily routes that include Milwaukee, Rockford, and Indiana. Call ERC Delivery Service. 630-516-1199. That's 630-516-1199.